Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You that You are with us every step of the way, that You care for us and You love us. And I just pray that as we study Your Word this morning, that You would speak to us, that You would convict us, that we might commit our lives more and more to You every day. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in Hebrews chapter 12 still, in verses 1 through 2. And I've been wanting to preach this sermon all week. You know, it was one of these things where I thought about my sermon all week long. And when I finally sat down to put it on the computer, it didn't take long at all. As we've been looking at verses 1 and 2, it's compared our walk with Christ to a race, that we are in a race in our faithfulness. And it reads in verses 1 and 2, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." As we have learned in previous Sundays, as we begin our race, as we're in the race, we are first to lose the weight of sin. Step two is we are to recognize the type of the race that we're in. As it's been said many times by many different people, the Christian race is a marathon. It is not a sprint. We're in it for the long haul. Step three, as we mentioned last week, we are to look to Jesus. Verse 2 says, "looking unto Jesus." And I brought up last week, it doesn't say looked in the past tense. It doesn't say that I will look in the future tense. It says that I should be looking unto Jesus in the present tense. I am to keep my eyes on Christ. We're to have the mindset of the Apostle Paul when in Philippians 3, verse 12, he wrote, "Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Just as Paul did, we are to look unto Jesus. Now, there's a reason why we look unto Jesus. The writer gives us the answer in Hebrews 12:2. He said that we should look unto Jesus because He is the author and finisher of our faith. Today we're going to spend most of our time on the fact that Jesus Christ is the author of our faith. But before we begin, I'd like to spend a little bit of time thinking about this idea of Him being author and finisher, because to me it points to the fact that Christ is complete. He's complete for us. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." In Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13, Christ says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's complete. And because Christ is complete for you and me, he should be everything to us. Paul said it best in Philippians 3:8 when he said, "Yet I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." The reason why Paul said that is because he knew that Christ was complete. Complete for him. He's the author and finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. So that leads us to Christ being the author of our faith. So we're going to start at the beginning. Some would say the beginning was when Christ began his earthly ministry, and so we would have to go to the manger. But there was a beginning well before that. It was the beginning before time began. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 said, "He," referring to Jesus, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Your faith, my faith, is possible because Jesus Christ was foreordained before the beginning of time. In Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3, Paul wrote the church at Ephesus and he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world." I didn't choose Christ. You didn't choose Christ. He chose us. He picked us. Revelation 20:15 says, "Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Christ, the eternal Christ, wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. This should completely change how we look at things because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Every book has a commonality in the fact that every book has an author, right? Every single book has an author. And the Lamb's Book of Life has an author, and his name is Jesus Christ. In fact, that's why it's called the Lamb's Book of Life, because Jesus Christ is the author. And for one to be an author, one writes a narrative, a story. Christ has a story, and I remember sitting in English class and my teacher telling me that a narrative has to have a structure to it. In its most basic form, that structure has to have a beginning and a middle and an end in order for you to tell that story. So Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, Christ has a narrative. If you look at Revelation 22, starting in verse 12, and we've already read a little bit of this, but we're going to read a little bit further. Christ says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride says, 'Come.' And let him who hears says, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." God said, don't add to my book. Don't take away from my book. The author controls the narrative, right? Just like in any book, the author controls the narrative. There is a beginning, there is a middle, and there is an end. And he says, don't change the meaning of my book. There are a lot of people who profess Christ today who could be accused of copyright infringement, because they're living a different narrative that's different from what God has put in His book. There is a beginning, there is a middle, there is an end, and there is a scripture associated with how we should live our life. It should be Christ-centered. It should be Christ-centered. I want you to think about this when God says that He chose us, that He is the author and finisher of our faith. He chose us to be in His narrative. He didn't choose us so that we could write our own narrative. He didn't choose us so that we could have the best parking place. He didn't choose us so that every day could be a Friday. He didn't choose us so we could be healthy at all times, that we could be wealthy at all times. He chose us to be in His story. See, He wrote His story. He put His story down before the beginning of time, and He chose us to be in His story. In John 15, starting in verse 16, Christ said, "You did not choose me." He then said, "But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." See, He said, "I chose you so that you should bear fruit." Well, is it my fruit? Is it my desire? Is it my will? No, it is the fruit of God. It's the fruit of God. That's why we were chosen. We were chosen for His will, His purpose. And when we ask Him something, we're to ask Him in the name of the Father, and our will should be aligned with His will. And when our will is aligned with the will of the Father, we are in the narrative of God. We've already read Ephesians 1, but I want to look again at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." And then there's this big word right after, which is our purpose. that. Why did He choose us? He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's my purpose. That's being in the narrative of God. My friends, the cross of Jesus Christ was not given to us so that you and I could write our story in the way that we want. The cross of Jesus Christ is the story to enable us, to equip us, to give us the power in the desire to pursue a holy life. That's what the race is all about. The race is about holiness. The race is about looking to Christ, about recognizing that He is the author and He is in control of our story. It goes on in Ephesians 1 in verse 5. It says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. His will. Not my will. Not your will. Not my story. Not your story. But the story of God. And then in verse 6 it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the beloved. Now, the reason why I love Ephesians 1 so much is to me it gives you an absolute complete picture of the story of God. And the story of God, that beginning, that middle, and that end is all related to the narrative in which Christ wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has called us. He chose us. I didn't choose Him. You didn't choose Him. He chose us in spite of our sin, in spite of our wretchedness, in spite of the love of the world. He chose us so that we could be adopted into His family. In being adopted into His family, we are now living for Him. We should be pursuing holiness. We should be pursuing the will of God. That's what we pray for, isn't it? That's how we're taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. See, we should be obsessed about the will of God, not our desires. It says that we were chosen according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, my Arminian friends get really upset about these verses because they believe that they pick. If you have Reformed theology like we do, we believe that God picks. And the reason why we believe that God picks is if I am a sinner, I am incapable of picking God. The Bible says that the natural man is at enmity with God. And so if God picks, He controls the story, and He can pick because He is the creator of the universe, and it's His story to tell. It's not my story. It's not your story. It's God's story. And the quicker that I understand and you understand that God's writing the story and that He's in charge of everything in my life, the more happy I'm going to be when I recognize that right now, at this very moment, I am at the place where God wants me to be. We can see that in the 23rd Psalm when it starts off, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's everything. In Him we find completeness. He has written the story down. And because we live our life for Him, we find peace and joy and happiness. So So if you can think about Hebrews 12, about us getting into the starting blocks for the race, and we're losing our sin, we recognize that we're in a marathon. Your salvation wasn't a one-time event. Your salvation is life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. That's forever. That He chose us so that we could live that life. Recognizing the fact that we're in a marathon. If you've ever run track and you're down in the gate or in your starting blocks and you look up and you see Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because of that, we should look to Jesus. Our desire should be for Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, he said, therefore we make it our aim, just like looking unto Christ. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. Therefore we make it our aim, present or absent. He's not talking about being with or without the church at Corinth. He's talking about whether I'm here on this earth or whether I'm in eternity. I make it my aim to be well-pleasing to Christ. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. If we sat here and wrote down an inventory of how we lived our life this past week, can you say that it was your desire to be well-pleasing to Christ? See, if we would just take this one verse and say, how should I be living my life? And say that I'm going to live my life to be well-pleasing to Christ. You're going to stay out of the weeds, aren't you? To say, I want to please Him. Because you're going to please the Lord when, just as in the model prayer, your heart's desire, you can really say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. When you desire the kingdom of Christ, when you desire to live a holy life to please Christ, we should look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Would you please join me in prayer? Father, we just thank You so much for Your wonderful Word. We just thank You for this great chapter in which You give us instruction on how we should live our life. And I do pray, Lord, that we would lose the sin that weighs us down, that we'd give it up, we'd put it to the side, knowing that everything that we pursue in life that is not Christ-centered is worthless. I pray that we would serve You and honor You. I pray that it would be our desire, just like Paul, to be well-pleasing. I pray that we would live this week with a focus on You, that we'd set time aside to focus and worship and exalt You, that we'd read Your Word, that we'd pray to You, that we'd recognize that we have access to the throne room of heaven because of what You did for us on the cross. We give You the praise and glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.